King County is a relatively easy place to be of Asian descent, you might think. There are 300,000 Asian Americans here, and if you're mixed race Asian, well, that's a fast-growing category. It might even be easier. Well, our next guest is here to tell you it's not so simple. Seattle writer Sharon H. Chang has written a book called Raising Mixed Race, Multiracial Asian Children in a Post-Racial World. She says families in this situation have a lot to deal with, and she ought to know.
Well, I have a personal investment, being myself a mixed-race Asian person, partnered with a mixed-race Asian man, and a mixed-race Asian child. So that's where all the questions started. But then as I looked for resources personally to support our family and myself and my partner and our child, I just didn't see much. And after all this time living here as a mixed person, I found that really, really shocking. So I started doing research for me and then also to really improve the canon of literature that already exists on this subject, which is still smaller than I would like to see.
Why was it so hard to find discussion about mixed-race Asian families?
I do want to say, going in the gate, it's very important to acknowledge that mixed-race people have been with us for a very, very long time, as long as this nation has existed. So that's a really important thing to say. What has changed is recognition of mixed-race people. And there was a brief time where the census attempted to categorize mixed slaves, though those slaves did not get to choose themselves what their category was. It was only in 2000, for the very, very first time, that people could self-designate more than one race. And once that happened, the public conversation about this completely shifted, because now we're federally allowed to have that identity. So now the public, the society, feels like they can talk about it. Oh, okay, this is a real thing. Let's see what this means. So up until that point, I think it was like, what are you? You're this and that, half this, half that. I think even the word mixed or multiracial wasn't really even in use until fairly recently, not in a popular way.
So you're kind of nothing because you're not this
right,
and you're not that.
I remember growing up and always describing myself as I'm half white and I'm half Taiwanese. That was the language I knew to say who I was. And I talk in the book about how damaging I think that is, to think of ourselves in fractions. And
why? Why is that damaging?
It's so divisive, so internally divisive, because kids grow up not thinking of themselves holistically. We always want that kind of holistic well-being, whether it's physical, mental, you know, or all of that together. It's just one of the ways that it fragments our sense of self and our ability to feel empowered and grounded in who we are. So, and I think there's still even problems with the words mixed race and multiracial, which a lot of people will also admit. But at least we've got something that indicates a whole now. So that's why I think we haven't seen a lot. It wasn't something that the dominant narrative was willing to recognize, because it, you know, our government didn't recognize it for so long.
Yeah, about the fractions, actually. I have to admit that my wife is half Chinese, half white, and I'm white, and our kids occasionally will hear, oh, is there a little Asian in there? But not much. They're kind of basically white looking. And I got to say, my family, we talk about skin color and race a little, but we haven't really focused on our kids' identity and talked with them about being multiracial. And your writing opened my eyes about some of the questions that we don't think about and how some parents are in denial.
Yeah, well, a lot of us are in denial. It's not just parents. It's not just some adults over others. I mean, generally speaking, we don't talk about race and racism with our children in this country. It's what we've been taught to do, to sort of keep things in place the way they've always been. And so then you layer onto that, what does mixed race mean? What does multiracial mean? Which is a fairly new conversation, and it gets super complicated and confusing. and I think there's also a piece around mixed race, multiracial being relegated like over there, away from race and racism things. So that's a kind of identity angsty thing that's happening, and here's the real race stuff that's happening over here. And that also makes it very difficult to talk about. So, and, you know, still the lack of resources and the lack of support for parents. Well, how do I begin this conversation? What do I say? What book should I read? What picture books can we read together? There's just not much.
Will you tell us more about the challenges that mixed race Asian children tend to face?
Well, it really varies. And I talk a lot about the spectrum of mixed race because it does rely a lot on, you know, race is a visual marker. So it relies a lot on how you look. So you talked about your children being more white appearing. That is shaping their experience and their treatment by others. Some of the families in my book are Black Asian families, and the children appear Black, and that is shaping their experience. Clearly, they get treated as Black children a lot of times, and we all know because we see it on the headlines every day what that means. So it really ranges. I did want to speak to the piece about, you know, quote unquote, quarter Asian or white, light appearing mixed race Asian children, because that's personal for you. I recently went to a high school and was talking to some youth about mixed identity. And we know that mixed race is the fastest growing identifier among youth today. I recently heard 10% of Seattle Public Schools students identify as mixed, which is huge. That's way higher than the national, which is somewhere around 2.9%. So I went into this room. I didn't know these young people's identities, and I sort of went through my spiel and shared some of my research and showed them some fun like BuzzFeed videos. And by the end of class, they were in tears, and it was a lot of the so-called quarter Asian or quarter people of color youth that were in the most pain, because they felt pressured to not connect with their grandparents of color. In this environment that we live in, they just felt like they didn't have a choice. So there's some really real stuff that can get very specific for mixed folks in very different ways.
I want to talk a little about the place we live. You did your study, Sharon, in the greater Seattle area. Is there anything particular you found about multiracial Asian people's experience here?
Yes. I mean, the pop out to me right in this moment is in the Northwest, we really have this, what I like to call a pseudo progressive liberal attitude about race and racism, where we feel that we are so progressed. And in some ways, we are very politically progressed, but our racial outcomes are no better than anywhere else in the United States. So in that way, we're very deceived, and it can be almost worse. I wrote a piece for The Globalist that went viral a while back about Seattle needing to shake off its progressive mystique. It becomes a veil, a colorblindness veil that can really prevent us from doing the work we need to do. So that really came up in this book because these families were from this area. They would say things to me like, oh, but it's so much better here. We're in a bubble, so we're safe. Therefore, ... we don't talk about race with our kids. You see where I'm going with that, right? And that's how that particular dynamic is damaging here in the Northwest.
Do you have an example in mind of how a pseudo-progressiveness, a colorblindness, stops us from doing what we need to do?
Yeah, well, like I was saying, this kind of, especially in some of the families in the south end of Seattle, where, you know, we've got that 98118 zip code.
Very diverse.
Very diverse, lots of languages spoken. People in that area would say, well, I don't need to worry about this for my kid because it's so diverse here. They're getting everything they need. I'm not going to talk about race and racism with them. I don't need to worry about it. They're getting their education by their environment. Well, we have a lot of racial segregation in Seattle, and children see all of that when they walk out the door. If you don't talk to them about it, they're not learning. And at least of the 75 children represented in my book, at least 68% had already shown race recognition. That was a conservative estimate. And at least 50% had already experienced racism directly. So that myth about, oh, Seattle's so progressive, we're doing so great here, so I don't need to talk to my kids, ended up becoming a kind of colorblindness where parents couldn't see that their children really needed things from them.
You know, there's an idea that mixed race children, that's our savior, because this is what's going to get us beyond race. This is the generation that has to think less and less about race.
Yeah, that's a myth perpetuated out of the dominant narrative. And I really break that one down in the book. You know, the idea that mixed race is post-race or the end of racism, it's just ridiculous. The idea that mixed race children, just the mere birth or sheer existence of them would end racism is, you know, it's just strange logic, and then that the burden would be placed on them when they're just children. And what about the rest of us? What is our responsibility for working towards transformative change? All of a sudden, it's just all, let's like unload it on these kids. There's many reasons why that's silly, but we also just can see that that's not true. I mean, as these mixed race identifying populations are more and more willing to call themselves that, we're still seeing tons of racism in the headlines every day. So it has not brought at all a change in or ended racism or a significant huge shift in our racial dynamics here in this country.
And in a generation or two, you don't see us being all mocha, cream, brown, you know, you don't see racism easing in a generation or two because of that.
No, because we need to address the systemic issues in our histories, our unreconciled histories, for that to happen. We don't just have mixed mocha, brown babies and then it's all over. We have to dig deep. We have to address these pains that have transferred across generations and generations and address inequities that still exist. And I can't even tell you the number of times I've sat at tables across from people who looked at me and said, well, one day we're all going to be like you and be like Brazil, and it's going to be a moot point. Which, I mean, and this is the perfect example. Brazil is very racist. They have a lot of trouble with racial segregation and very extreme oppression of dark-skinned blacks in Brazil, the last place to abolish slavery. And what happened there was that it just reformed, it reshifted. If we don't address those deep, deep-rooted systemic issues, it just reshapes itself. And so, yeah, we're not calling it maybe white and black and everybody's different shades of brown, but still lighter is better and darker is not as good, right? So that's what we really need to be looking at.
Finally, Sharon, we, of course, people are listening to you now from all over the spectrum of experiences, but is there any one thing you want to tell listeners that they can do starting now to bring a little more awareness?
Can I say they should come to my book talk tonight?
That's one thing. That's good. That's one. Tonight at Seattle Public Library, Central Library.
The nice, beautiful, big one downtown. We're at the ground. We're in the ground level auditorium. Starts at 7 p.m. Doors open 6:30. And there's three mixed identifying folks and one queer Filipina poet who are also coming and joining and doing art. And we're all going to sit and answer questions. So you can come and talk to mixed identifying people and hear about our lived lives. That's a great thing to do. But I think, you know, one of the early reviewers of my book said it so well. She read my book and she said, what I love about what Sharon said is you've got to do you first. So the very first thing I always tell folks to do is turn the microscope on yourself and start asking yourself really basic questions. Can you define race? Can you define racism? Do you know the history of race? Who made it up? And how you connect to that today. What's your racial identity and how do you feel about that? That was one of the things in the book when I asked, for example, white parents how they felt about being white. Most of them denied being white. And it showed how much work they still needed to do in acknowledging their location in a racial system, right? So yeah, do you first.
Sharon H. Chang is author of the book Raising Mixed Race, Multiracial Asian Children in a Post-Racial World. I think you can put that in quotes. And you can see Sharon H. Chang tonight at the downtown branch of Seattle Public Library.